Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. Thanks for tuning in. I am Bill. Today's show, we're going to be talking about cryptozoology, animal guides, and building your own totem. We'll also be touching on the pineal gland, not actually touching on it, but touching on the subject. If you'd like to give us a call today on any unusual sightings of unusual animals or creatures that you can't explain, then give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. We are doing very limited readings, so if there's something you'd like to share with us on the subject of the show, we'd really appreciate that. Spare with me a moment while I do a sound check, make sure everything's running okay. Okay, we're sounding okay, so please sit back. Open your minds and enjoy the show.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
Happy Tuesday, and welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu and Bill, and today we have a really exciting episode and stuff to talk about. But before we do, that song that we just listened to was called Violin Muse. Violin Muse by Ikoku Kawai. And one of the things that's so cool about that song is that she actually dreamt it. She had a dream, and when she woke up, that was her song. And she, you know, she composed it and put it together, and that's what came out. So,
you know, sometimes when I've had a dream and there's been a really awesome song going on, like the best song ever, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome, wake up, and it's like totally, you know.
That's happened to me before too, where I've, you know, dreamt songs, and when I sat down to actually write the song, I really couldn't write the song, but I could write a tribute to it. You know what I mean? So
that's
always something that's pretty awesome. One of the things that's actually pretty cool about today is that it is, it is a blue moon, the full moon period we're in. I know that people kept posting it's a blue moon, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's not a blue moon because, you know, we were raised thinking a blue moon was when you have two full moons in 1 month, right? Well, this is actually a blue moon by the most accurate of terms. Actually, a blue moon is actually when you have, you know, every year you have 12 full moons because there's one full moon a month, but some years basically you're going to, I think they said something like 7 out of 19 years you're going to have 13 blue moons in a year. So this summer we actually have 4 full moons, okay? The third full moon is the blue moon. And then, you know, that's why this is a blue moon. So, you know.
It reminds me of the song Blue Moon. And I remember when I was younger, my dad did a tape for me of tunes. Used to sit there in bed when he used to go to bed, listen to my cassette player.
Mm-hmm.
My dad made these tunes for me. And one song had ended, and then I nearly had a freaking heart attack because he recorded Blue Moon for me, but it was at the end of American Werewolf in London, and it came on after the end of the film, but he left the howling at the beginning of it. And I was like, what the hell? I thought, like, there was some sort of monster possessing my cassette player or something. Like, what the hell was that?
Oh, jokesters.
What a cryptozoology. Cryptozoology. That's when you sneeze around hidden creatures.
Well, you know, today's topics are going to be about, cryptozoology, and also about, animals and building your animal totem. You know, we have a few people in line that want to talk about their animal totems, and we'll talk about how to create it. But what I think we probably want to do is we want to talk to them about the process of creating it while we're talking, and then we'll help them begin to build their totem along the way. Okay? I think that'll be something that's kind of fun. But first, current events. What's been going on
this past week? I'm going to go on to some news articles. I've got a load of them. But I'm doing the High Life workout plan at the moment. And I wanted to confirm, I was talking about protein shakes last week. A lot of them have got a lot of crap in them, aspartame, stuff like that. And I've actually recommend Reflex whey protein because I did a lot of research and found that I think it has stevia in it. I just want to confirm that it's actually you want to go for the reflex natural way and don't do what I did and order the reflex instant way thinking it's the same stuff, because it's not. So you've got to go for the natural way. It's always the natural way is best. So bear with me because I am exhausted, and if I start mumbling or stumbling in my words, snoring, you know how that is.
Both of us are kind of wiped out for the past week. You know, we had to rebroadcast the show because last week was the beginning of just crazy town. I was detoxing and have just detoxed myself into sickness, and he is doing this this psychotic workout. Is that what it's called? The psycho workout?
The low life workout. No, sorry, the high life workout.
The low life workout. The high life workout. So, you know, we're trying to keep it pumped up, but we're kind of blah, you know.
Yeah. I'm not that work anyway. Go on, what?
Well, why don't you talk about one of our
news?
Yeah, one of our things.
Well, what's going on? You're chewing on your mic there.
I was trying to adjust it.
All right. Okay. Surgeons and dentists who are HIV positive will be allowed to treat patients for the first time. The government has decided. A long-standing ban preventing NHS workers who carry in the virus that could lead to AIDS from carrying out certain potentially dangerous procedures is to be overturned. Campaigners welcomed the decision by the government. Government's chief medical officer insisting patients have nothing to fear. Self-testing kits for HIV will also be legalized in Britain. From next April, it was confirmed HIV-positive doctors and nurses are allowed to work in the NHS. Until now, they have been effectively barred from being surgeons or dentists. Department of Health guidelines previously banned HIV-positive staff from carrying out invasive surgery or so-called exposure-prone procedures that could risk blood contamination. The article goes on, but you know, I think that's a bit crazy. I wouldn't want a dentist or a surgeon who's got HIV to be operating on me in case, you know, whoops, I nicked my finger there with the scalpel. Sorry, let's dive in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just don't even know because, you know, normally we're pretty open to so many things that I don't even know what to say because I really don't feel comfortable. I had a doctor when I was younger, when I had a pediatrician that was sick. And the only reason I knew about it was because, you know, she was forced to retire. But I don't know what to say about that because I really want to think of myself as a progressive thinker and all that, but I just don't think that it's good for anyone to be at any sort of risk like that, period. So that's something that, yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really tough call.
Restaurateur Gary Newborough had food critics raving about the pizzas at the VIP launch of his trendy new restaurant, until he confessed that they were in fact frozen and bought from the local supermarket. Gary, 58, had promised a taste of Italy with a pizza with a real difference at the batch at the La Pizzeria Ristorante Ronte in Manchester. It goes on, but it's like everybody's raving about his pizzas, and they're just Ristorante pizzas. Frozen Ristorante pizzas.
Oh my god.
I could do that, that'd be so easy. It's just a bit crazy. There we are. Shoplifters caught stealing are being released by police and handed free food vouchers. Officers across the country have been issued with the vouchers that allow criminals to collect 3 days' supply of provisions donated to food banks. Some shoplifters claim that they had no choice but to turn to crime to feed themselves or their families. Okay, I believe some of them are, but you know, some of them are drugs. But critics have said giving vouchers to offenders rewards thieves at the expense of law-abiding citizens. Hundreds of food banks have been set up by churches and community groups across Britain to give emergency food parcels to those who need it. Doctors and social workers can issue vouchers for food banks to those struggling to pay for food. But the vouchers are also given to police officers who are allowing criminals to go free with vouchers instead of being charged with them. Staffordshire Police have handed out 7 vouchers to individuals in need since March. In the latest case, an unemployed shoplifter was cautioned given a voucher as he was released from a police station after admitting stealing from a shop in Stoke-on-Trent. Continues, but you know, I think that's pretty ludicrous, really. I mean, I know some people are really in desperate need and they need to go out and steal. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but it just, I mean, people go out, oh, I tell you what, I'm going to rob the shop and get caught, so I get some free vouchers. Or, phew, I can really do some of those food vouchers, tell you what, I'm going to get caught shoplifting. It's like, you got caught shoplifting, right, I'm going to let you go and give you these vouchers, take that. You learned your lesson now. Well, the thing is, because of your food banks, they're actually there for people who actually genuinely need this food. You won't be able to tell the shoplifters, they could say, oh, no, I really need the, you know, because I know people have been in that situation where they've actually had to receive the donations, the food donations off people because they were struggling that much, you know.
Right.
And it sickens me to think that some shoplifter who's trying to get something to sell it to, you know, get some whiskey or something, is taking that food away from people, families who are really struggling, you know, with kids and stuff, you know. But there you go. That's that. Hold on a moment. What the hell is it? Panhandling is no longer just for those lacking money. I presume panhandling is when you get your sign and you're saying, please help me, I'm homeless or whatever.
Right.
A Florida woman thought herself to be lacking physically in the chest region. Took to the streets to raise money for a bust enhancement, carrying a hot pink sign that in bright blue capital letters read, not homeless, need boobs. Christina Andrews of Pensacola walked up and down the shoulder of a busy intersection raising money for her cosmetic surgery. I just want bigger boobs because I'm not happy with ones I've got, and I figured this is a good way to do it.
Well, it's better than the woman that was able to get hers off of
the NHS.
Yeah.
And then, like, shortly after, she's like, no, they're too big, take them out. But, I mean, you know.
Well, at least she's being honest.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's still, I mean, a bit of values, man. You know what I mean? I mean, it's mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
That's freaking crazy. Sorry, I'm just trying to find something. Where is it? Anywhere? It's on the Icon House cheeseburger site. Here we are. What? Francois Gendron learned the hard way that it's against the law to sit on the grass in a public park in the downtown Villa Marie Bora of Montreal. On Monday, he sat beneath a tree in the park behind the, what's that? Baudry Metro? And the act earned him a $147 fine. The police initially approached him and asked him politely to move. They told me, we do not have the right to sit on the grass in Montreal Park, he said. I accepted to move, but 10 minutes later, the police left, so I returned because I wasn't comfortable in the sunshine. Obviously, he was in the shade. So, and they he gave him a fine for freaking returning to sit in the shade in a park. What?
I just don't even know what to say sometimes.
Okay. Well, I'll come back to some news articles in a bit. It's scrolling there. So, what's the plan, Stan? I mean, I can talk about the pineal gland a little bit. Sorry, pineal gland, not the pineal gland. What? You're laughing.
I'm laughing at you correcting yourself.
Yeah.
You know me, I laugh at things constantly.
Did you hear about the Mexican train killer?
I think you've told me this about 20 times, and I can never remember the punchline.
He had locomotives.
Oh, gosh.
I haven't told you 20 times, not once.
No, you did not. You told me, like...
Once
while you were at work, and then... Another, right when you got home, you said it again.
Well, I just want to make sure it's okay. You know.
So maybe you've told me 4 times.
Well, yeah, probably now.
Why don't you relax for a moment, drink a cup of tea, we'll listen to a song, and we'll take a call.
All righty.
When we get back... we're going to be talking to Ivatar.
Interesting name.
Mm-hmm. I like that name. And this is Broken Earth Radio. If anybody wants to give us a call, the number is 347-215-8421. Our chat room is also open as well. Today's topics are cryptozoology, animal totems, the pineal gland.
I'm sleeping.
And sleeping, but we're not going to do that. But we will be right back.
Thank you.
was that thing at the end? That was just but at the end was a bit stupid.
That was my favorite part. That's part I wrote.
Sorry.
I wrote that part.
Yeah, I can tell.
Really? You can really tell? Because it was the best part. It was the most out of place part.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Let's continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, why don't we talk with Ivatar?
Okay.
Okay. Ivatar, this is Nunu and Bill.
Hi, Nunu and Bill. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
Well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Good, good. Well, share with us what's on your mind.
Well, I wanted to know if I can comment on one of your topics that you had earlier.
Sure.
If I can comment on. And I wanted to comment on the topic about the people. I don't know if they got caught stealing or what the situation was, but it was about the food vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The food voucher. I just wanted to say, you know, we don't know why people do what they do. And
right.
We may have some people out there that are stealing because they really need it, and you may have some people out there that's doing it just for fun. So, you know, how do you make a determination and say, well, we shouldn't give them, you know, vouchers because they're thieves or whatever, because you don't know who was really sincere and who, you know,
that's
really
right.
Just did it out of the need. And who's to say that just by doing that kind gesture or providing that kind gesture, that person may say, well, you know, I've been out here stealing and for food, and I didn't even know that this was available to me, and I'm so grateful that it's available to me, and may cause that person to make different choices. So
you know, one of the things. No, you're right. You're actually right. But keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. Sometimes the mouse just starts going.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I'm kind of concerned about is even though this is a positive program, in a sense that it's helping people in need, you know, to show them, hey, you don't have to take this. We can help you with this. One of the things I'm kind of concerned about is the opposite effect, not of people just stealing for the joy and then getting free stuff out of it and then, you know, returning it and possibly being able to get cash back. I'm not even talking about that aspect because, you know, I used to manage a store, so I know about the way that, you know, different ways that people can scam. But one of my concerns is that the police officers are playing judge and jury when it comes to this sort of situation. So even though they're giving these vouchers to give to people that are stealing, what if the circumstances were different? And since we've eliminated that whole process there, what if they were given the right to do something quite opposite of that with the people and punish them for doing it? So, I mean, we're walking a thin line when we eliminate the whole process of right or wrong. But I understand why they're doing it, but that's just another point. I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate in a way, but it's not about people scamming. It's actually about the authority that they're giving people to decide who's right or who's wrong, because if they were going to decide who was wrong, what would they do with that power?
Well, maybe
okay,
they should.
So, what you're saying is that
should.
the police department decides if they're right or wrong, and they make a decision from there whether they're going to give them the food or not, or is it just automatic?
I'm actually talking about another side of this, which is not real yet, but it could become real. Basically, it's kind of like we cannot get, and remember, this is something that's happening in the United Kingdom, and they have the best police ever for a criminal because I say this, and I'm saying this a little sarcastically. If I was going to be arrested, I'd want to be arrested in the UK. But the thing is that, let's say that these police officers are being told, okay, you get to tell these people that, you know, here, you're stealing food, give the food back, and here's a voucher so you can pay for the food. What if they're also being given the alternative of punishing the people? If they realize, hey, they're not stealing this for the food, they're stealing razors to shave their legs or for whatever reason they're stealing razors for. You know, what if they were given the right to punish them and they completely eliminated that middle man, which is the judicial system? You know, so it's kind of like, I know that this is not even necessarily what Bill was even saying with this, but I'm seeing a whole different side where the cops are being allowed to be the only right or wrong in this. And it's like there needs to be something separating all that stuff too.
That's right. You've got to treat them all. Well, the way it's going to be, Sam, they need to treat them all equally, which isn't necessarily very easy because it depends what they're stealing, where they're stealing from, and their attitude to what they're doing as well.
Right. So it's not just about helping the people that are desperate, but you know, we're also dealing with you know, we could have madmen with badges that are just wanting to punish people if they were given that right too. We just need to have a complete judicial system is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's the only point I'm making. But I mean, I do believe that this is helpful, and I do believe that this is compassionate, and this is awesome. But I'm also concerned about, like, my kid. Like, you know, what if something happened and my daughter was in a store and her friends were trying to steal something and put it in her pocket and they discovered it in her pocket, but instead of them seeing where she didn't do this, they saw that she did and punished her without me knowing. You see what I mean? It's kind of like we have to keep a balanced system or it's just going to be chaotic. It just will be. So these vouchers, who knows if you can even trust the cops, because there's, you know, who knows what they're doing? They could be selling these vouchers to people. I mean, it's just, regardless, the whole thing, it sounds nice and it sounds sweet, but it's really, it can't work.
But surely the people who actually need it, surely they'd be able to make the people who need it aware of the system that's in place, these food banks, and maybe give them to families who apply for them.
Right.
Only to be made aware of it rather than being given out randomly on the street by the choice of police officers rather than the justice system. So anyway, we could talk about this.
We could talk about that forever. But I know that that's not really what you want to talk about,
right.
Ms. Ibitar. But you said that you had wanted to talk about the animal totem.
Yeah, well, I heard you also said something earlier about creating a totem, and I thought that totems were already around you. I know I have several animal totems around me. I don't know what they all are, but that's what I thought, that a person, you know, the totems, they come and go, but you said something about developing them. I just would like to know the ones that are around me.
Okay, well, basically, there's many different processes. If we're following a more, which I would be, of course, following a more Native American process, because there's different ways of identifying your animals. And remember, I mean, what we do is a totem is kind of on a pole. Imagine it's on a pole, so you're going to have your animals stacked, and you identify your animals through dreams, through meditation, or through purposeful observation of your surroundings. And different cultures use similar methods to determine an animal symbol and what it means. But basically, first off, you just need to relax because your animals are going to come to you. So, like let's say that you've been dreaming about a sea lion for some reason, and you're like, I've been dreaming about this sea lion. And then one day, you know, you're just sort of like out at the beach, and then you see a bunch of sea lions. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not that it's unusual necessarily to see sea lions, but it would be to be dreaming and then to see them. You know what I mean? So this is an animal that you want to make note of and do some research, because you're going to add this animal to your totem so that you can kind of, you know. Yeah, that's how you, it's like it's through some sort of coincidence or just through some sort of chance, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, but you take the power of that animal, and you're supposed to be learning something from that animal because it's come to you to say, hey, look at me. There was once that I was watching this movie, and all through this movie they had bulldogs. And I had been watching, it was on HBO, they'll play a movie all day long. You know what I mean? They'll play a movie every few hours, they'll keep showing it. And I had been watching Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, and so they had bulldogs all through that movie because it was in Georgia, and some of the people in it were part of the University of Georgia, and that's their mascot. So I went outside onto my porch, and there were two bulldogs out there. And I'm like, what? I mean, there's two bulldogs on my porch. So there's something about that animal at that time that needed to speak to me. You know, so that's the way that we build. That's the way we build our totem. And so it's, you know, through dreams, through observation, through meditation. You know, sometimes we even have to, fabricate a state of consciousness when you're going through certain times of trouble. So that you can identify with something that's basically going to save your life or save a situation, save your family, save something. There's even people that have infestations of certain types of animals, frogs, ladybugs, that sort of thing. And when that happens, you know, we're supposed to be taking something from that we're supposed to be dealing with in our situation. So, like, let's say your home is overrun by ladybugs. It doesn't mean you should leave your house. It just basically means that there's something extremely positive that's trying to get to you, and it's having a really hard time coming because of some things that are going on in your life. You know, so remember, that's the way that we create our totem. And our totem never changes. There's just certain animals that we're supposed to be aware of at that time, and we pile them on together so that when we look back at life, we can see our process and our progress because of the way that we've seen things grow.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. There you go.
Okay, so are you able to see the totems that are around people?
Well, you actually, this is a task that's actually for your spiritual process and growth, not mine. So mm-hmm. when you see an animal, when something comes to you, we can talk about that, and then we start to put that together. But you're the one that has to see the animal, not me, because it's not my spirituality that's progressing. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I know that there, like I said, there's several, you know, around me that I'm aware of that's been there for a while, and one of them is a lion or
mm-hmm.
cubs, and they're cubs that, you know, they're around me all the time.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What type of strength do you draw from the lion?
I think they're there to protect me. It's like they're there to protect me. It's like this protective energy. I just think that there's certain things that do that I'm not consciously aware of, just to put, you know, for protection.
Okay. You know.
And I don't know about the cubs, because they're, you know, I don't know if the babies, they're around me too.
Well, you know, the babies are babies. It's, you know, remember, it's a process. It's you know, it's about our growth. Spiritually, we transcend. In different situations, we hit walls that we have to climb, and you may
mm-hmm.
find yourself experiencing, you know, different things with different animals at that time. But the lion is it speaks to us of wisdom, of power, of royalty, of dignity, of courage, of justice and balance, of ferocity if need be, of dominion, and also authority. So, you know, the meaning of the lion, these are the things that you should meditate on. And when we meditate for clarity, one of the colors that we can use is brown. But we want to, sometimes we want to, change colors of a color, like shades of a color, rather. If you want to start light, you start with tan or beige and then just kind of move up the color cast. But this is a great animal to have in your totem. Seriously, it's a fabulous animal to have in your totem. And, you know, there's some things that you're, you know, trying to take back, or there's some things that you're trying to, you know, keep and own for yourself. And remember the royalty and the dignity. You know, the cub, to me, when I hear that you have the cubs in there, that actually is a symbol to me that, or a sign to me that, even though you're being told to, you know, to hold yourself together and to remember that you need that respect, we still have to pay attention of our ego and not allow our ego to own us. And cubs, because they're brand new, you know, with those in your totem as well, standing next to the line, would show that, you know, you still need to keep your innocence, or you still need to keep a little bit of your naiveties, because it keeps you balanced, and it keeps you grounded. It keeps you very grounded. However, you still don't need to allow yourself to be walked on.
Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No problem, dear. No problem. Well, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, it's been very good to meet you. Very good to meet you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. Thank you to the both of you.
All right. No That's problem, beautiful. Ivatar. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, I was thinking, as a good example, a few weeks ago, I was in two minds, very stressful time. I was on the fence for about a week or two with about changing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a difficult time to make the decision.
Right.
There's a bit of war going on between the two places I wanted to be. Anyway, I finally made a decision, difficult decision, and as I was getting on the phone to make the phone call to tell somebody about my decision, which was actually to stay where I was, a butterfly came along and landed on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So I suppose that would be a good indication of perhaps I was making the right decision.
Yeah.
So.
You have a lot of butterflies that that attack you.
I know. I had one the other night. You know what? Were you here when I freaked out?
Yeah.
I thought it was a bat or something floating in here. Butterfly.
Yeah, butterflies are extremely, extremely symbolic, because they represent time, soul, grace, growth, elegance, expansion, surrender, transition, expression, celebration, resurrection, and vulnerability. But the thing is that these are all beautiful things to talk about, but they too stand for like one of the most divine forms of wisdom, and that's the wisdom of transition, the wisdom in transition, of being able to be fluid. And not only that, but I believe that it was David, and this is a biblical reference, and some people may take it and say, oh, Bible stuff, whatever, but it's still a reference. David was surrounded with a crown of butterflies to show him that he was a real natural-born king. And so when you meet people that draw butterflies to them, or that have butterflies that are attracted to them, these are very, very special people. They're extremely special people. So, but remember, it's also because of that gracefulness and that process of being able to allow yourself to transition freely, that you should be checking into. And I mean, it's, you know, you are someone that is very set in his ways. You're very strict with yourself. So, you know, you're strict with, you know, those that you care for. And so the, you know, it's, but the thing is that you still have this undercurrent of accepting certain things. So, I mean, you have a very contradictory way that you see things. It's very contradictory, but it's still, you know, we just have many pieces to ourselves. I think that's the best way I can put it. There's many pieces to ourselves. But during right now, because the butterfly keeps popping up, you know, allowing yourself to transition. And even though you chose to be where you are, you were still transitioning into a position of respect, being able to stand up for yourself, that sort of thing, which is something that I think a lot of us have problems with. You know, a lot of us have problems with, you know, like really defending ourselves because we don't want to sound like we're bullies or harsh or, you know, we just don't want that negativity, you know, so. Go on, I'm sorry.
No, sorry, I appreciate what you were saying. Sorry, I was going to say, I have a tendency to push myself to do things. It's like, go on, just do it. Just get it done out of the way, like today, with the situation of, you know. Anyway, forget about that. I'm like Lord of the Butterflies. Well, thing is, before, you know, for many years, maybe 10 or more years, I've noticed that the moth, for some reason, has been some sort of symbol for me, even when, you know, I wasn't aware of a lot of things. You know, my mind wasn't quite as open as it is now. I was like, what's with all these moths? Why are these moths all over the place? Why are they always here? You know, so I thought that maybe Mothman was following me around or something. the other thing I wanted to touch on, we need to move on to cryptozoology soon, but I know we've got another caller who wants to talk about this. The interaction of other people's totems with, you know, interaction between other people. So, for example, with the lion, I presume it must have some sort of interaction with other people to be able to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking, when I was sitting in my sister's house and I was woken up in the night by a drog. You know, those drogs. Always waking up in the night. A dog. You know, it wasn't a physical dog, it was spiritual or paranormal, some dog pulling me out of bed by my leg, and it was snarling at me and that, even though it was like floating off the floor. Anyway, I thought to myself, well, maybe he's just the spirit of a dog, but now thinking about it, I'm wondering whether that dog was like an animal guide or part of the totem for my sister, and it perhaps saw me as a threat and it was trying to protect me and trying to drag me out, because I was staying in her bed, you see. And she was staying in another room. So maybe, I don't know, I just thought of that now. Maybe that's another case of interaction between totems. But, I mean, you would have thought maybe perhaps how spiritually aware are these totems? Should they know that the fact that I'm not going to... Anyway. Maybe it's something to think about, because I just thought about it about 10 minutes ago. Anyway. Continuing on.
Well, you know, let's take a break, and then we're going to take another call. We're going to talk to Greg, and then when we come back from that, we'll kind of start talking about our cryptozoology.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. If anybody wants to give us a call, our number is 347-215-8421. This is Broken Earth Radio, and we will be right back.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park, and then later when it gets dark,
we go home.
Just a perfect day.
Feed animals in the zoo,
then later a movie too, and then home.
With Greg, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hi, Greg.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
You?
Well, okay. Oh, I'm pretty good.
Good.
My question was about, like, lately I've been trying to get in touch with animal guides, mostly to set up boundaries and do some lucid dreaming work. But in the past, when I was doing it, it looked like a bear wanted to come through whenever I was doing the boundaries. And I've had dreams about turning into an eagle and being around eagles and stuff sometimes. But one of the problems is I noticed that sometimes I do a lot of traveling in my dreams, and that
right.
I'll have dreams about animals, but later on it'll be revealed that they're just like the personalities of certain people. Okay. And I was wondering, you know, I'm struggling with how do you identify, either your totem animal or, a spirit from a, from a higher dimension coming in volunteering versus, somebody else's animal astral projection.
Well, the thing is, this is what I want you to actually think about, okay? I want you to think about, let's say, I think the best thing for us to do is give me an example of an animal that, when you decoded your dream, ended up being a quality of a person. Give me a story.
Okay. One would be, I had several dreams about chickens. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I had, it kept coming up that other people were also having dreams about chickens, and it revealed itself as, I guess there were a lot of people that were afraid in a local spiritual group. And in another situation, there was a guy that would turn into a wolf, and then later on, it was revealed that the wolf turned into a man. And I got to see that he was like this troublemaker. Actually, he eventually admitted, without me even mentioning it, that he had dreams about, more like turning into the wolf man. Not so much the positive wolf, because I know wolves can be guardians and things like that, but this was of the different variety.
So it was more like he was a werewolf.
Yeah.
Or just like, well, this the problem that I think that we're confronting with this situation is that even though these, you are seeing animals and in your dreams, and you're decoding these animals to be the qualities of certain types of people, there's still for yourself. I mean, for yourself, because remember that, this is essentially about you. There still are qualities of, like, let's say chickens, pride, honesty, courage, vigilance, a little arrogance, strength, watchfulness, and flamboyance that you take from that you can actually use for your totem. But the thing is, if you flip all those upside down, being a show-off, being paranoid, the opposite of strength is not actually weakness. Strength is actually an opposite for itself.
Okay.
Being arrogant, the opposite of being arrogant is it's still kind of like arrogance, even though it sounds negative, it's still an aspect of ego and pride. You might be seeing the negative aspects of that bird in that person, but there's still positive things that you've got to draw for yourself. For example, one of the qualities of a chicken would be honesty. Except when we say somebody's chicken, we imagine somebody who runs away and has fear. But the
okay.
thing is, it's like, it's like you maybe are supposed to be taking the qualities of the rooster on for yourself, so to speak, so that you can protect the flock from, someone that is not quite who he seems to be. So, in the wolf, the wolf is a really, really, really sacred animal. So for somebody to pretend to have the qualities of the wolf, but to actually be a man You know what I mean? Pretending to be this other thing. Or even if you think about, you know, wolves, you know, wolves are animals. They're wild. They're just going to be animals. I mean, you might be able to take from that that he's just a man, regardless of what he's trying to do. He still has the flaws and the imperfections of somebody who's trying to transcend but keeps getting sucked under by his earthly needs. So, you know, it's so it can be defined, and I mean, you got to look at things 360.
Yeah.
You can't just look at it 180 and 90 and 45. We got to look at it 360. So there's qualities in that that you need to embrace for yourself. You also may be witnessing qualities in people because there's certain things in yourself that you're trying to cast out or get rid of as well. You know, sometimes we spot things that we know because we know them from ourselves. So it's like, you know, there's so much, and I'm telling you, these are your dreams are more powerful than you realize. And so it's not just about those people. It's what can you draw from those people that where are you growing from your experience with these people? You see what I mean?
I see what you mean. One of the issues I was having, though, is that I was looking more to set up my totem animals with the goal of blocking out a lot of the incoming, local energies, you know, for my own personal space, you know, like almost like an off switch whenever I, you know, it's okay to learn every so often about what's going on around you, you know, in different places. And sometimes you just want to learn about your own individual self, you know. And I was like working
Greg,
with
how are you going, and I'm so sorry to interrupt you, dear. You got to forgive me when my mouth won't stop moving, and I have to work on that, okay? But the thing is, dear, is that how are you going to learn unless you have experiences? How are you going to know things about yourself unless you see yourself reflected off of other people? You know, I understand what you're saying. You're trying to say, I'm trying to block all that stuff out and just see myself and see me grow. But you see, you and I can go to, you know, some place that's going to allow us to study with the Dalai Lama, because we can't necessarily go to Tibet because he's not allowed to be there. But we can go and we can stay with him for 15 years. But the moment we step back foot here and we're in Detroit, we're dealing with the people in the streets of Detroit. You can only transcend as high as those around you let you. So, you know, you can study and you can learn and you can do all these things, but you still have to deal with the real world and the karma that comes from that, which is just basically experience, okay? So, you know, that's what you're getting. You're getting your school. You're getting your lessons, and your lessons you get through interaction with people. And so then you take that home, you write things down, you dream, you process, you digest, you burn your candles. I suggest that I was telling the other lady to burn brown to keep, you know, to help her sort through confusion and to figure out what's for her and what's not. And I suggest you do browns and purples because you're an extremely intuitive person. Your guides are talking to you, but they're talking to you about something. If you're just, you know, existing in your space and there's nothing for them to talk to you about, then, you know, what did they learn?
Yeah, I have I do a lot of different meditations and things like that. Actually, the issue was more or less that it would come in a reoccurring vision, almost like I was being kind of like sucked into almost like a body that was a little bit sick or degenerated. You know, like whenever I did all these meditations about like why I was getting pulled in that way, it was though there was dreams just about people soliciting, almost like trying to sell themselves, kind of like almost like solicitations and salesmen would always come up. So when I'm, you know, it's almost like I mean, because I could write page after page about different things that were going. It's just almost like, I don't know. It'd be like somebody in the spirit inviting you somewhere that you don't want to go, but there's
right.
enough of them, so they're creating like a gravity. So, I mean, I used to work with some of these groups of people years ago, but because there was a negative flow and I was getting all these warnings about people being worn out and sick because of the negativity in some of the groups, I intentionally don't go.
Right.
So that's kind of part of my issues.
It's funny you should mention that, because I went to a meditation group a few months ago. While I was sat there, this was the first time I went, while I was sat there, everybody was coughing and sneezing, and you know, I was like, what is wrong with everybody? Like, everybody seemed to be ill.
Yeah.
There was some woman who had to keep leaving the room, and not only the fact that everybody was ill, but the fact that it's really hard to meditate with all those people coughing and sneezing around you. But I know that obviously there must have been some sort of energy flowing as it shouldn't be around the group, and I never went back after that. And I decided to go back to my own meditation myself. And sometimes if you feel like you need to actually shut off external things and look inward towards yourself, maybe for self-improvement, I believe one of the ways you can do it is imagining a blue light around you, almost like a force field. I think that's supposed to keep out any unwanted energies and entities. I normally do my meditation after doing some Tai Chi because it sends me deeper into it.
Okay. I've found that whenever I talk to people that are more in agreement with the fact that you're going to have your own personal space, that really helps. With those type of groups, for some reason they seem to, I don't know if they do it in their prayers or however, but they kind of bind themselves together. A couple mm-hmm. times I was in a situation where I'd went and it'd be like I'd have a dream where I was in that group or whatever, and I'd try to, like, dial out on a cell phone to get a, you know, outside line to
mm-hmm.
a higher
mm-hmm.
authority, and their voice
mm-hmm.
would be on the end and said, no, you're not getting out of here.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
a group of people can generate an atmosphere that's almost like a maze, that, you know, like, it'd be like in one of those movies where you think you got out of town and then the town just starts all over again.
Right. Yeah. You and that's something that that we just like any group, like if you go to church, you can't trust every church. You know what I mean? You can't trust what everybody's teaching. Just if you go to meditation groups, if you go to yoga, if you have a circle of or a triangle or a square of people that you work with, you really, really, really have to trust the energy of the people that you're working with. There was 5 of us that were working together at one point, and the stuff that we manifested, it was the Thursday before Easter. The stuff that we were working on that night, everything just literally exploded on everybody the next day. I mean, in a way that it was like somebody got sent to the hospital. I mean, I'm just telling you, you just, it was a powerful, powerful group of people working together. The only thing is that one of them was, one of the girls that was working with was just bad news. And so everybody's situation that they were trying to manifest, it manifested really, really fast, but in a way that was just really horrible for everybody. You know what I mean? So you just got to trust who you're working with. And after that point, I had to sit back and tell, you know, the girls that I normally work with that we just cannot invite some girl that's really cool that you work with, you know? And so we just can't do that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
One situation I had it on my website. This guy appeared as a Sasquatch. And what was cool was, after I started having dreams about what was going on, weeks later I went there. I know it was kind of dumb, but back then, whenever if I get something like that, I'd almost think that God put me on a mission, not realizing it was a warning. But anyway, he would appear as a Sasquatch. And the couple days after I went, I had this dream that I was at home, and I had a box, and it was, I must have stole it from the Sasquatch, I don't know. And I opened it up, and it was a box of rings, okay? And the Sasquatch was outside screaming, "Who took my rings?" And I'm like saying, "Well, what are these rings?" And I must have had a guide alongside me, but somebody like whispered in my ear, "These rings are the rings of the saints that the Sasquatch ate." Okay? And if you would know the guy, he's a salesman, okay? Mm-hmm. And he makes promises
right.
to people so that they
Sounds
give him
right.
authority and put him in charge. So you have people giving their power away, which
right.
I
that
think
makes sense.
Is one of the reasons why people get sick. Because people were actually getting the same pains in their body. And I started getting it too. And it took a long time to do all the meditations to get those pains. Like some were chest pains I heard people complaining about. I was getting them sometimes in the chest, sometimes in the lower, in the abdomen. But that just to give you an idea. He actually admitted to being the Sasquatch. But what happened was, I mean, it's rare to come in contact with a meeting where they're actually confessing things like that. Usually that stuff's kept pretty hid. But he acted like he overcame it, okay? And because
right.
he overcame it, he pointed his fingers at people and said, "I overcame it. I see it in myself, and now I can see it in you." So he was like giving himself the authority back pretty much. And was like, "Well, I took care of it. Now I'm boss over you." The guys, you know, and I can help you out.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, it also kind of sounds to me like he was bragging about it a little bit too.
Yeah. Well, in one dream, I saw him like sinking in a well. Okay. And my guide told me that like he was keeping himself afloat because his relatives kept putting him in charge. So he was, you know,
right.
when you surround yourself with enough relatives, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, you got enough of the vote, you're going right back in. So,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, the whole point is I wanted to work with my totem animals and power animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, to create a secure space, you know. So that was part
right.
of the reason.
Well, one of the things I suggest that you do, because you're having a time. I'm not going to say it's a hard time, but you're just having a time really kind of, you know, really honing in on what's speaking to you or what should be speaking through you, I think, because a lot of it's the same. I really see it as the same. Why don't you just sort of choose an animal? And
okay.
meditate on that animal. You know, you are very good when it comes to dreaming. So, you know, place that animal in your dreams. And we're not actually going to make that animal your totem animal. We're actually going to just make that animal your friend. And
okay.
with that friendship, it mixed in with it and with you dreaming and you befriending this animal, we're going to see where it takes it and who it introduces you to, because that's the animal you know that you can trust.
Okay.
Because you've chosen it, just like if you pick somebody to be your brother as opposed to being born with one, you know.
Okay.
So if you're drawn to the wolf, or if you're drawn to a duck, or if you're drawn to, you know, whatever, a ladybug, whatever you're drawn to, a frog, you know, imagine, meditate yourself with that animal. Imagine yourself moving with that animal. Almost imagine, you know, you've just, you know. Kind of, you're just holding hands with that animal for a little while, and then see who it takes you to, and just kind of see what you find.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have a set of I think it's Stephen Farmer Oracle Cards. I was just looking at. I've just started to do the research on the animals, so I'm still pretty new to that.
Okay. Well, you know, everybody has to just start from somewhere, right?
Yep. Thanks a lot. You guys really helped.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. So did you want to go on to cryptozoology, or did you want to listen to a song and then come back to it?
Let's get on to it.
Okay. All right.
Because time's running away with us. I mean, it's not a pioneer mind yet. Don't know whether to be able to get listened up, you know. Plenty of stuff for next week if you don't manage to fit in. Okay, cryptozoology. Cryptids, you know, animals, but I mean, zoo, crypto means hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So, creatures that have been, you know, reported and not necessarily confirmed by any scientific backed up, you know, evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Funny because we already mentioned werewolves and Sasquatch, you know, and there was a video which I posted in the chat room of a video of a mermaid on a rock, which looks very convincing. The footage does look very real, but what gives it away, what ruins it, is the people's acting on it. So if you happen to go onto YouTube, put in mermaid, I think it's had about 4 million views in about 2 months, put in mermaid, animal planet or something, it'll come up. And I think it's a seal on a rock, and then it kind of looks at him and then slithers off into the ocean. Like I said, it does look pretty, it's pretty good. If it's CGI, it's pretty good. But like I said, the way the guys are acting on it, it just seems a bit weird. But there have been reports of mermaids, whether they exist or not, I'm not too sure about that. But, you know, ocean's a big place. Plenty of creatures are still getting discovered. There is another video on YouTube of a deep sea diver thing. You know, I presume they're investigating, looking at deep sea creatures, and there are some weird creatures that have been discovered recently. Sea creatures. Some of them are really strange. But there's one allegedly of a mermaid or merman or whatever, something that comes along, puts his hand on the glass of the little submarine thing and swims off. So you might be able to find that. That's interesting, but then again, mm-hmm. You know, it could be another thing. I think one of the most, because you've got so many different things. You've got Sasquatch, you've got, you know, Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster, there is quite a few interesting pieces of footage out there. The Loch Ness Monster is supposed to be like a plesiosaur.
Plesiosaur.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what it is, plesiosaur. Plesiosaur. Yeah, I'm sure that is. With the flippers and everything. Mm-hmm. There is some interesting footage out there. Quite convincing of some big things in the water, but also the fact that there was a time where they actually trawled the whole of Loch Ness with boats and sensors, and I don't think they found anything in there, and they thought maybe there's a way it can get in and out of the lock or something, but there wouldn't be enough fish in there, from what they were saying, to support such a big creature.
It right.
could be wiped out in a short amount of time. Unless, of course, there's another way in and out. So, I want to talk about the dodo. Cryptozoological reports of the dodo do exist. Dodos have been reported, and thus they are today cryptids. Intriguingly, the phrase dead as a dodo means undoubtedly and unquestionably dead, whilst the phrase to go the way of the dodo means to become extinct or obsolete, to fall out of common usage or practice, or to become a thing of the past. If the dodo were to be rediscovered, these phrases themselves would become obsolete. How ironic. The following reconstruction, anyways, picture there, la, 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 dodos. The dodo was a flightless bird endemic to the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius. Related to pigeons and doves, sort of are three and a 3.3 feet tall, weighing about 44 pounds, living on fruit and nestling on the ground. The dodo was allegedly been extinct since the mid to late 17th century. There was some controversy surrounding the extinction date of the dodo. Roberts and Solow state that the extinction of the dodo is commonly dated to the last confirmed sighting in 1662, reported by a shipwrecked Volkert Everest. But many other sources suggest the more around the date of 1681. Roberts and Solow point out that because the sighting prior to 1662 was in 1638, the dodo was likely already very rare by the 1660s, and thus disputes the report from 1674 cannot be dismissed out of hand. So it's just going through some statistics there. Due to travellers' reports and the lack of good reports after 1689, it is likely that the dodo became extinct before 1700. Sadly, the last dodo died a little more than a century after the species discovered in 1581. No museum or collection exists that has a real taxidermy item. They're all recreations.
Right.
Cryptozoological. Sightings of birds resembling dodos have been reported in recent years from some of the islands surrounding Mauritius. About 20 years ago, people began claiming they saw strange birds like dodos on the Mauritius beaches. Reports of the sightings of living dodos in 1990 on Mauritius prompted William J. Gibbons to mount expeditions to search for them. None were found. So by the look of it, there was actually any physical evidence of dodos, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't really that long ago. It was a couple of hundred years when they were last sighted, but I think a lot of them were hunted out of extinction, you know, like sailors and that. Because I imagine it'd be like a big juicy chicken, really.
Right.
You know? How could you resist that? There's another one is Chupacabra.
Right.
The goat sucker. Which been reported a lot. I mean, there's a lot of it. Now, people have caught it on camera. See, so it's got so many different, you know, descriptions and characteristics. And they reckon that people find goats with, you know, all the blood sucked out of them, puncture holes on the neck, and people film these weird-looking dogs. Anyway, I'm not sure, but I think some of the sightings were some sort of strange interbred wild dog, maybe, between domestic dogs and coyotes, maybe. Perhaps. I bet some dead ones that have been found around. I've got a list here of all the ones. I mean, some people have been reporting giant ground sloth. Large, furry, sloth-like creature with powerful claws and a horrible stench.
Oh, that's just me.
All right. But, I mean, it did used to exist, but it's extinct.
Right.
People have been reporting it in more recent years. Alleged sightings in the South American Amazon rainforest, thought to be confused with a legendary spirit.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a sloth is a bear.
Right.
And so, I mean, could it be perhaps that, you know, people are seeing just a you know, some sort of a bear?
Possibly. You don't know. That's the problem with these
right.
Sightings, you know. I know.
Well, I mean, of course, what? They say that they don't look like anything else, but they are bears.
Right. The Jersey Devil, there's one I read from when I was such a young kid. I remember seeing a picture of it and it freaked me out. Someone said it landed on their shed roof and it had like the legs of, I don't know, some sort of bird and like wings and like a goat's head, but with like a camel's neck, and it sounds so horrible. That's a picture of it. I was like, oh god, I hope that was in between land and our shed in the nice. Because I used to read all these mystery books and stuff like that, and about giant penguins.
Yeah. Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Giant penguin feet that have been found in the snow. Not like emperor penguins, but much bigger than that. I'm always interested in things. I'm always trying to find on YouTube into weird creatures that have been caught on camera. 99% of them is just like, really? Somebody messing around, or CGI, or somebody just, I don't know. I mean, some people make them as well. Like, I saw one yesterday of like a snake body with like someone who tried to make like a human bit to it, and I just wonder why some people bother doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. But there are some, but then again, you know, we're talking about Sasquatch. A lot of the main reportings of aliens are the greys, the insectoids, which is like a praying mantis kind of looking thing, and things that look like a Sasquatch. They're the main ones that are reported by people who have been abducted seeing these creatures. So perhaps it's an extraterrestrial wandering through the woods, or maybe they're interdimensional. That's why they're not even, you know, seen very often.
Right.
But then again, you've got even more confusion of when things appear to you in a certain form, you know. If somebody's seen something, it might be something else appearing in a different form, perhaps to scare you or not to scare you, because I know people very close to me, one of them seen some sort of strange creature in a tree, like some sort of cat-looking thing, which wasn't a cat. I need to get to draw a picture of it because it sounds extremely interesting. And the other one was of a little gnome-looking guy, like a little elf thing, about 2 or 3 feet tall or something. And these people are very close to me, and I believe them, so it's just, I mean, do little known people exist, or is it just the form that they were showing themselves to us, not to scare the piece of people who's viewing it, you know? Another creature that was classed as a myth was a thylacine, or Tasmanian something or other.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actually video footage of that. Somebody actually caught one. I think it was the last one alive, and they've got it in captivity there. It's yawning at one point. His jaws are so, it's open so wide, you know, it's like a very slim looking canine with like stripy bits on its back. So I need to check that out.
Like a bear and a dog.
Bear and a, what, a thylacine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a rat.
Is there any cryptid specific you want to talk about? Because my voice is starting to...
It is. Well, why don't you rest your voice and we'll listen to a song and we'll take caller. Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. We'll be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio. Our number, if you want to call us, is 347-215-8421. Today's topics are cryptozoology, animals, animal totems. We haven't been able to even touch the pineal gland, so we'll probably save that for next time. But we will be right back.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz. You never knew that I could do that. Just walking the dead, lost in time near Cardiff, just walking the dead. Thousand people crossbars and broken, fingers are crossed just in case, walking dead.
My name is Marissa from Power of You. Love, money, hope, security. Contact me for personalized spell packets. I'm a practitioner of enlightened down-home conjure. Just email us at powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com. Again, powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com.
And we're back. I think that I am going to take the caller at 928. 928, this is Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you today?
Yes, hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm wondering about my love and relationship.
Okay. Could I have your name?
Alvina.
You said Alvina?
P-H-I-N-A, Alpina.
Oh, Alpina.
Alpina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Alpina. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, Alpina, it's nice to meet you. Why don't you ask your question?
I'm just wondering what you see or what you pick up for the relationship between me and Del.
Okay, Alpina, this is not really for a full reading. We're just answering simple questions. If you have one to ask, ask that. But if you need a whole reading, you need to schedule a reading. So did you have a simple question to ask about your relationship?
Yeah, let's see. Yes, I guess I'm wondering, are we going to be able to, like, have children within this year?
Okay, that's a very good question. Hold on just a moment. Let's see. Now, there's only 4 months left of this year. Okay, mm-hmm. So what we'll do is we'll look to basically see when you're going to get pregnant. I think that's probably going to be the best way for us to approach it. Okay? Hold on just a moment, dear.
Okay.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Let's see what's going on here. Okay, so let me count backwards here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Almost too perfect. Okay, it actually looks like you'll find out that you're pregnant in December. Okay, but this is the deal. It looks like in the month of October, your cups will flow. Okay, that basically means that you'll menstruate. In the month of November, you won't. And the next step is that you find out that you're pregnant. Okay, and then I see a child coming. I see a child coming. And hold on, let me just tell you this, and then whatever you've got to say, we'll fix our timing with whatever you've got to say. But there is a child coming hold on just a moment. It's from here, from this point here, this is November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. It's like July, August time is where I have my Ace of Cups. Now, but it does look like you'll have a baby. Now, this is the deal. What were you going to say?
I was thinking, like, so what you're saying is
you're not
going to get pregnant until...
No,
I'm going to get pregnant until October.
Yeah, you're going to get pregnant in October, but it looks like you'll find out. No, I'm sorry. You menstruate in October. In the month of November, you don't. And then it looks like the next step after that is finding out that you are pregnant.
I'm actually thinking it's probably sooner than that.
Well, that you're going to find. Well, see, the thing is, let me tell you, it looks like you think you're pregnant now, but you're not because.
No, that's not the case. No.
Do you actually know that you are?
No, I'm not. Like that.
Okay. The reason I'm saying this is because next month there's a card here that says the things that you've put your time out into don't pan out. That's why I'm saying it kind of seems like you may think that you're pregnant, but the thing is that it does look like you will become pregnant. But it looks like it's around November time that you're getting pregnant, like, and then you find, or it's between October and November because it says your cups flow in October. Then in November you find out, and then you are, and then but you find out in December. These are the steps. Now I realize that when it comes to timing, you could find out a little bit sooner than that. It's just that the way that my months are flowing, it looks like it's. You know that you are at the end of the year, but the child comes in the summertime.
Okay, and my other question is, like, I'm wondering, is this going to be...
Well, it's one question, dear, and I'm so sorry. I don't want to be like that, but we get run over a lot, and we're trying to get it straightened out. Okay, but thank you for listening.
Okay.
Thank you for listening, sweetheart, and good luck. And let us know when you find things out. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, dear. You there?
Sorry.
smell like something was getting hot in here, you see. I was just trying to find out what it was.
Oh, something was getting hot.
Yeah.
It sounded like you were stomping out the fire.
Sorry, I was trying.
It's okay. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
Strange. So where are we? What are we doing?
Oh, basically, I guess, you know, everything's kind of slowed down now, and we can kind of talk about our next show and,
right,
you know, anything that you want to do to close it out.
Well, I can talk about the Pioneer's Land next week.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I'm just pretty freaking exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for sleep. We'll be talking about laser pointers next week.
Laser pointers?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, tell me about that next week.
Are you going to be pointing a laser pointer directly in my eye?
No.
Again?
Nope.
No, not that. Not that. Well, let's close the show out.
Okay. Well, we can even play a couple of songs or a bit of a relaxation or something. Or...
Yeah, I think that we should close the show out with a song that a lot of people really, really liked, but we haven't been able to play it. What is that song called? Oh, my goodness. Everybody's free to wear sunscreen.
That's it.
Okay, and we're going to close the show out with this. And thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it true. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting.
Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy. But be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.
Amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.